Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
He has risen just as he said. Well, good morning, my family. It is so good to see you on Resurrection Sunday. I want to take this opportunity to do two things. One is to wish you a very happy Easter, and also for you to keep your heads up right now, because I'm going to throw some Easter eggs out. And I just want to say a big God bless you. And hey, I want somebody, John, come. And this isn't for you, bro. But can you please take that to Val? Stand up, Val, just for a moment. Come on now. Come on, sister. Woo, she's fantastic. God bless you, Val. And there's one up there and one up there. And hey, I'm so excited about Easter. Praise God. I told you to keep your heads up. You got to keep your head up like you need to keep your head up in tough times. Amen. That just came to me right there. There you are. There you are. There you are. There you are. Praise God. Praise God. Oh my God, we have such a great hope in Jesus Christ. You know, the thing that separates what we believe in and when it comes to Jesus, the other gods throughout the earth, there's really just two things. First of all, the God that we serve became man. He became man. And he became incarnate and he dwelt amongst us. And we did a whole series on that back in December called God Became Man. And you can check it out on our webpage. Go to the podcast section and you can check out a whole bunch of messages there. But of course, the other thing that he did, he didn't just come like and be one of us. He also died and was resurrected 3 days later. That's what separates what we believe from every other God on the earth. Jesus actually said in John chapter 2 verse 19, it says, and Jesus replied, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. Wow, he will. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Predicting your own death and resurrection 3 days later, that's pretty impressive. I'll serve that God, amen. Is anyone else here going to serve that God? Praise God, that's so good. Well, we had a fantastic time in Gingera in our Good Friday service. We had an open-air service, and it was a good Friday. It's what it was. And so many people came out, and I spoke to about four families after service who were just asking us about our services and when we're going to go weekly. And I said, well, it's not in the too distant, you know, future now. And one of the actual mothers testified, and it was 5 minutes into the actual service. So we were worshiping Jesus, and 5 minutes into the service, this 14-year-old boy turned to her mother and said, Mom, this service is so full of life. And the mother said to me, that's all I needed to hear to want to make the change. So I just want to say praise God, and I want to say thank you, team, because we are at GLC, so God bless you. It was a really great day, and I just think I need to book that venue for the next 10 years, and because it was such a great event. Well, we're beginning a new series for April entitled Hope, Life Beyond the Stone. And I want to begin this series today by sharing with you what I believe to be one of the greatest stories of hope in the history of the world. Now, Glenn, if I'm saying this is like one of the greatest stories of hope in the history of the world, it better be a good story, amen? But this is one of the greatest stories of hope in the history of our world. This is truly a rags-to-riches story. The message behind this story for us is not just for the Easter season, but a message for a lifetime. And it's the story of when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And we're going to pick up this story right now, beginning in John chapter 11, verse 17. So if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow on the screen, and we're going to begin. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises, at the last day." But Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Let's pick it up now in verse 32. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she also fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. This tragic event would not have happened if only you had been here." Verse 38, but as Jesus arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance, Jesus told them, "Roll the stone aside." But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." But Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth, and Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." You know, the fact that Jesus says that a 4-day dead Lazarus will rise again reveals to us that no matter how much trouble we find ourselves in, and can't we at times find ourselves in some difficult situations? Every single one of us, sooner or later, can just find ourselves in some trying circumstances. But this story reveals that no matter how much trouble we find ourselves in, when Jesus turns up and when Jesus is present, we too, out of the midst of deathly circumstances, can rise again because there is hope, life beyond the stone. In this story, Jesus doesn't wait for his own resurrection from the dead to prove who he said he was, right? Because in this story, Jesus demonstrates that he is also the resurrection and the life in the midst of our present and earthly circumstances. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus didn't actually wait to prove to us that he could be bodily resurrected after his death. He proves it even whilst he is on the earth. And he wants to do the same for you and I. He wants to prove, he wants to reveal himself to us now. Jesus is alive. And he became alive for you. And he became alive for me. The Bible talks about the shadow of death. King David wrote in Psalms 23, verse 4, he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Doesn't sound all that great, does it? Doesn't sound like, you know, that's the kind of valley we want to walk through. But he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You know, Psalm 23, verse 4 is not just referring to the reality of human mortality. But is it not true that there are also other forms of death that can literally surround us, which can become so overshadowing that they tower over us? Do you know that feeling? And just as objects cast shadows in many shapes and sizes, our lives and circumstances can also cast various kinds of deathly shadows. For example, the death of a dream, the death of a vocation, a ministry, relationships, friendships, someone's decline in health, which can be a slow death, and of course, the feelings of loss of hope for the future. Death has been defined as the destruction of or permanent end of something. But just because there might have been a death to something in your life, it doesn't mean that it's the end of you. It's just another new beginning. You know, Jesus is in the kingdom business of bringing death to life. He said in John chapter 12, verse 24, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, if we die to the things of this world, if we die to ourselves, if that seed dies, it will produce much fruit. You know, when it all seems like it's the end, when it seems like it's the end, perhaps there is someone sitting here today and you just feel like you're either at the end of yourself or you're coming to the end of yourself. I just want you to know today that whenever it feels like it's the end, that's when Jesus begins. When it feels like the end of something, that's when Jesus starts something. And so today, I want to give you three keys to help you to have hope, life beyond the stone. Are you ready? Three keys, and they all begin with R. Okay, I kind of like to begin whatever key I'm bringing with the same letter because it's, I think it could be my OCD, I'm not really sure. But anyway, point number one, the first R, the first key that I'm going to give you today, which will help you to have hope and have life beyond the stone. Point number one is the key, roll the stone aside. So we know that Lazarus is dead. They've placed him in the grave, which was a cave cut out of the rock. And once the body was placed inside, they rolled a large stone across the opening. Now think about the qualities of a stone of this size just for a few moments. Some of the qualities of a stone this size would be that it was very large, heavy, cold, solid, and it was a dividing barrier. But Jesus turns up and asks for the stone to be rolled away. Why? Because what came between death and life was a stone. On the inside, we have death. But on the outside, we have life. We have Jesus. And a stone can represent those areas that have come between us and Jesus. This is why Jesus commands that the stone be rolled aside, because it was a dividing barrier between death and life. Now, on your seats, you have one of these. And I just want to invite Kate and Rye right now to begin to hand out a pen down each row. And what I'm going to give you the opportunity to do is to fill out a prayer request today. And we're going to give you the opportunity to come forward at the end of my message. You don't have to write down your name if you don't want to. You can write down your full name if you'd like to, or your first name, but you don't have to. You can exercise some anonymity if you wish, okay? But I want to ask you right now, can you think of anything that has separated you from your walk with Christ? Perhaps that can be something that you write down. Can you think of anything that has come between you and your walk with Christ? Or is there a stone between you and Christ that is obstructing your view of Him? That stone could possibly be offenses, emotional pain, unbelief, disappointments, lusts, addiction, or a relentless commitment to negative mindsets. Negative confessions, a past failure, which is keeping us spiritually dead and robbing us of a powerful encounter with the life, the resurrection life of Christ. What does your stone look like? You can just write down one word if you like. And perhaps in the next 10 to 15 minutes, something might come to you. And again, at the end of my message, I'm going to invite the music team to come. They're going to sing for us. And throughout an act of worship, I'll give you the opportunity to come forward. Point number one is roll the stone aside. Did you notice that in this story, Jesus didn't roll the stone aside? He commanded someone else to roll the stone aside. Jesus won't do for us what we can do for ourselves. He will only do what we cannot do. And when it comes to rolling away your stone, it's your role. It's my role. It's your role. It's my role to roll the stone aside. But what does your stone look like? Perhaps rolling a stone aside could look like confessing your sins to one another. And I wouldn't recommend that you confess your sins to everyone. I would recommend as your pastor that you confess your sin to someone who you love, who you trust, someone who can emotionally carry the information that you're sharing with them, keeping it confidential so that they don't go and gossip about it. I would encourage you, the Bible says to confess your sins to one another. Speak to someone who's perhaps even further down the track than you. Someone who can help you, listen to you, and then pray for you. Another way that you can roll the stone aside is to pray for one another. Confess your sin to one another and pray for one another. Another way that you can roll the stone aside is to encourage one another. And number four, to bear one another's burden. But at the end of the day, my friend, key number one, the way that you get hope, life beyond the stone, is to roll the stone aside. And rolling the stone aside is our responsibility. No one else, I mean, people can help us roll the stone. They can help us. But at the end of the day, we need to, number one, identify that there is a stone, that there is a dividing wall, that there's something heavy and large and cold standing between us and resurrection life. Here's the thing. Until you're honest about your own stone, how will you ever be able to roll it aside? Until you and I are honest about the stone, the dividing wall, the thing that is obstructing and stopping us from entering into a greater level of resurrection life, until you acknowledge it, how can you remove it? Hey, listen, let me encourage you. Identify the stone. Identify it. Acknowledge it. And then you can remove it. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, talking about us, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Come on now. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The first point was roll the stone aside. Point number two, respond to Jesus' call. Respond to Jesus' call. You know, when the stone was removed, there would have been many voices. Can you imagine the murmuring of many voices? Because Mary and Martha and the crowd, what were they focused on? They're focused on the fact that Lazarus is dead. What else are they focused on? They said, hey, no, we don't want to roll the stone aside because the smell of death is in the air. So what are they focused on? They're focused on really the impossibility of this whole encounter. They're focused on the fact that this is over and he's dead. And they're also focused on the fact that there's a smell in the air. Isn't it true that sometimes our lives can stink a little? Like, is it not true? Is there something, you know, I'm sure that there are some things that we wouldn't want anyone else to know here. Why would that be? Because we think to ourselves that, well, I don't want them to know that because that area kind of stinks. Like, that area is kind of dead. There's nothing attractive about me telling, you know, them about that area of my life. But Jesus isn't focused on that. He knows that there's the smell of death in the air. He knows that decay has already set in. He knows that Lazarus is already buried deep in a dark and a cold cave. This can sound like our lives, amen? At times, it can sound like some areas of our lives. Jesus is not focused on that. in this story. And Jesus is not focused on those things in our lives. Mary, Martha, the crowd, they saw death. Jesus saw beyond the stone, beyond the barrier, beyond the dividing wall, and saw life. Hope, life beyond the stone. You know, there's only one voice, my friends, that we need to heed today. And there's only one voice that will take you and I from death to life. And they are the words of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. John 10, 27 says, my sheep, they hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I want to give you the opportunity in a few moments to follow Jesus. There are a lot of voices out there, my friends, and a lot of those voices are in here when it comes to the negative mindsets and negative self-talk. But Jesus said, my sheep, they follow me. Just imagine what your life would look like on the other end of just following Jesus. Come on. Imagine if you became deaf to your own negative self-talk. What a powerful thing that would be. Point number three, I love this point. Point number one, roll the stone aside. Point number two, respond to Jesus' call. He said, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came out. Point number three, recline and dine. Now, this is going to mess with some people's minds, but Jesus wants you to recline and dine because he is inviting you to his table today. This is why this is one of the most powerful stories of hope in the history of the world, and a rags-to-riches story. Consider this. Let's turn to John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is beautiful. This is so good. It says, then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made Jesus a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Jesus. Lazarus is one of those who sat at the table with Jesus. He went from dying outside of Christ to dining in with Christ. He went from dying outside of Christ to dining in with Christ. Jesus not only raised him to life, my friend, but he also raised him to live. Jesus also is inviting us to come to his table, to recline and to dine. I want to invite the music team to come today. You know, a table represents community. A table represents love. A table represents fellowship and hospitality. And Jesus is inviting us to come today. I want to invite you to stand. And if you're ready, I want you to take your prayer request. And once again, as you come forward during this time of worship, if you could just hand your request to Kate and to Rye, and they will place your card on the cross. And we're going to pray for all of your needs today. And then I'm going to give someone the opportunity to respond to Jesus. I really do believe that this is the day when someone is going to come home to Jesus. You know, just remain standing. But at the end of John chapter 11, Jesus said, or the story says in verse 44, and the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Now, I feel that the Holy Spirit wants to encourage someone right now. Because, you know, when you unwrap something, sometimes it can take a little bit of time. Perhaps in some circumstances, it's one step at a time. It's one revolution at a time. And sometimes it takes time. It would have taken some time to unwrap his hands, to unwrap his feet. What do hands represent? They represent our work in God. What do feet represent? It represents our walk. And sometimes, is it not true that we can stumble around a little bit in our walk with Christ as God begins to allow ourselves to be unwrapped? And it says also very specifically and in detail that there was a headcloth. His face wrapped in a headcloth. What does the head represent? It represents so much. It represents what we see. It represents what we hear, what we smell, what we say, and what we think.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you're equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or learn more about Gateway Life Church, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.